Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I'm Jamie Lee Grace. A topic today that I don't think I've ever covered before. It's a really fascinating topic. I'm going to be chatting to Lizzie around foraging and sustainability around food. And oh my goodness, it's a fascinating topic. It really, really is. And I got to interview Lizzie the first time when I was doing a stand-in show on BBC Northampton. And she came in to talk all about her work and her foraging walks. And I thought, wow, this is fascinating stuff. I've got to really got to find a way of having a little chat to Lizzie. And then I discovered that she was sober. So, you know, even better. So I welcomed her onto the Alcohol Free Life podcast and happy to share this interview with you too. Because, you know, there's been stuff in the, well, obviously over the years, there's always been stuff in the press about foraging and what we can and can't find. And then recently there was that whole mushroom story, which I don't think anyone managed to miss. And that probably put a few people off the whole idea of going foraging. But my chat with Lizzie, I hope, will get you back on track thinking about the sustainable picture and just how exciting it is, the things that we can do with just what nature has given us, literally, rather than always having to head for every single thing to the supermarket. It's amazing to remind yourself sometimes the power of what's actually out in nature. Just before we get into that with my guest, just a reminder that for anyone who did Sober October, it's not too late to just continue. Just make a decision that perhaps you'll go right through till January. I mean, why would you not? You're bound to have found some benefits. And just it's worth just remembering that all the good stuff doesn't happen in the first month. It takes a little longer. You know, I always remember a naturopath telling me that in terms of, you know, holistic healing, natural healing, we should really allow a month for every month we've had the illness, if you see what I mean. And if you're someone who's been drinking, you know, more than you want to for years and years and years, then that is a lot of months for recovery. Fortunately, it's not quite that scary. You can start to feel better relatively quickly, but you know, so much better if you can give yourself 3 months. Kick in with 3 months and focus on what you're gaining. That's the key here. Really put that focus on everything you're gaining, because there is nothing to lose if you're quitting the booze. So even if you've been doing Sober October and you thought you'd go back to drinking, just change the plan and quit right through till the end of January, but promise me you'll focus only on what you're gaining. And obviously, if you want to get connected, that's going to make a massive difference. And the Sober Club that I run is a well-being platform and community, and we literally cheerlead each other. It really is about that incredible support of like-minded people. And as a sober coach, I often find that clients will say to me, oh, you know, I know that, you know, you have this community, but I don't really need, I don't need a community because I'm perfectly good with, you know, my partner doesn't drink or doesn't, you know, knows that I want to stop and it's very supportive. But it's not quite the same as being with people who have perhaps relatively recently gone through the same thing. There's something very powerful about that. So do check out the Sober Club. There is a huge archive of materials that are there for you, and an online course and a private group that you can, you know, check in at any time, and there'll be somebody there to cheerlead you on. So do think about that. The power of connection, it's absolutely critical. It really, really is. I did a post recently called Your Sober Boost, about ways to kind of beat flatness, reignite momentum if you've been, you know, if you're starting out on your sober journey. And really, one of the key factors is that connection piece, just that whole idea of making sure that you're on track with letting other people know what you're doing and reaching out when you need a little bit of support, whatever that might be. And on that note, if you can think about connection in person or in a more of a smaller group setting, and even better. So I'm hosting an event on Monday, the 8th of December in London. It's going to be a live podcast recording and meet up. I've got a special guest, Andy Ramage. Really looking forward to meeting some like-minded people. It's quite a small venue. You don't have to worry if you're coming on your own. You'll feel safe and secure, I promise you. So check it out, Monday, 8th of December. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find the information for that evening. And then before that, November the 29th, which is a Saturday, in Hertfordshire, I'm hosting Family Constellations, or Systemic Constellations, as it's sometimes called. That's not the trickiest to describe. I have done a few shows on the topic, but really that's a case of just come and experience it. It can be absolutely life-changing, particularly if you know you've got some limiting beliefs or some blocks in your life. Just come and check it out. It's really special work. And then a few days before that, there's a free webinar, What Does It Mean to Be a Sober Coach? So this is for you if you've quit alcohol and you've just got this kind of idea of a perhaps a new sense of purpose, something that is going to feel important for you at some point. There are some people who do the sober coach training purely for themselves to lay the foundations for their own sobriety. And then there are others who literally within 8 weeks go on and become sober coaches or offer retreats, workshops, whatever. There's a huge market, of course. You don't need to already be a coach, but you do need to be aware. You do need to have the experience of having quit alcohol yourself. So that's a free webinar on Monday, 24th of November. And then before that, 9th of November, Sunday, 9th of November, I'm going to be in Scotland. Haven't been up to Glasgow for, my goodness, so many years. Really looking forward to being in Scotland at the I Write Festival. I'm going to be talking about the new edition of my book, Happy, Healthy, Sober, on Sunday, the 9th of November. I think it's 12:45 at the Mitchell Library. So again, if you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you can click the link for that there. So whole bunch of stuff. Come if you can. Join us if you can. If you join us in the Sober Club, we have online meetings as well. It would be great to have you involved. And whatever you're doing, if you have decided to carry on from Sober October, just make sure you tell someone. Even if you don't join the Sober Club, just reach out and tell somebody you're doing this, because that's the thing. It's the thing that really makes the difference when you reach out and you just let somebody know. Make sure you follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. You can absolutely message me and tell me you're doing this. I'll hold that vision for you, and enjoy the foraging.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
My guest is Lizzie Farmer, who is a wild foods expert, forager, well, all kinds of stuff we're going to get into here. Welcome, Lizzie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Janie. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, well, we got to chat on BBC Northampton, and I just loved hearing about the stuff you were sharing, and thought I've got to get you on the podcast because it's a topic I'm really interested in. But also having discovered that you're sober as well, I mean, that just adds another fabulous bit of icing to the mushroom, as it were. So,
icing to the mushroom.
take us back and just tell us a little bit about your kind of background and how you got into all of this and what was going on for you.
Okay, so I've probably had a drink issue for many, many years, not a couple of years, for a longer term, but dropped in and out of it. So quit, started, laid back on alcohol, then come back to alcohol. And then when my son was three, we were at toddler groups, doing toddler groups and ticking that box and getting outside, doing fresh air. And then we started spotting some mushrooms. So we essentially just started doing more walks. And then with that, I started doing some work with Bridge, which is a charity that works and supports people with substance and alcohol and drug addictions. And I was actually still drinking at that point. I was still drinking probably what most people would say to excess every evening. And then gradually over the last 5 years, it's 3 years just after Christmas, I believe, coming off. I can't remember, I didn't stop for January, but it was around that time that I stopped drinking 3 years ago. So
Amazing.
I would put my hand on my heart and say that absolutely 100% wild food and nature. have been, I guess, my church, if you want to call it a religion. I don't know whether people would call it a religion, but it's helped me. It's helped me and supported me through not just the dark times as well, where perhaps I would have turned to a bottle of wine and drank myself to sleep. But also the alcohol, I believe, was to do with being combined ADHD as well, which I've got a diagnosis for. So lots of discovery, I think, has gone on over the last few years. But yeah, drink was a big part of my life, and it's not now.
It
But I
is.
love talking about it.
It is interesting how I've had several clients who have had a ADHD diagnosis later in life, and it kind of throws, well, for some of them, it's sort of thrown them for six. For others, it's helped them recognize why, they were turning to alcohol. There's definitely some links there, aren't there?
Think so. I think so, definitely. I think I'd just say, I mean, I'd refer to my son, he's eight, undiagnosed, but they want to push for a diagnosis at school. That it's a busy brain. It's a really, really busy brain. And I think a lot of these people, especially the ones that I work with, other addiction struggles and stuff, they're trying to quieten that busy brain down. And if it's not, they're trying to quieten a busy brain down, it's through trauma. A lot of the stuff that I've sort of learned about myself and other people is that you don't end up with an alcohol addiction or a bad habit with drugs or alcohol. There is always a backstory to this. There's
Yeah,
always a
exactly.
backstory. And I remember somebody being very snooty when I was a child, saying, "Oh, that person on the street's a dirty tramp," and they've got a drink problem. There's a bottle of spirits next to them. It's really, really derogatory. And I feel I can say it was my mother, who I don't speak to. And that at the time, I remember thinking, "My goodness, that's so hard. You don't know that person. You don't know that person sat there in a really bad place." And looking back, everybody that has turned to drink, to excess, I believe, or turned to drugs, there's other stuff going on. There's relationship struggles or traumas, and there's something that's gone on, or grief.
Yeah,
So yeah,
absolutely.
the ADHD thing, I think, is definitely one of the other ones. If it's not something like that, it's probably to quieten that busy brain.
Yeah, absolutely. So you found the solace, if you like, of nature and of wild foods. I mean, just talking about nature first. I mean, we know, don't we, about the incredible benefits of just literally getting out into nature. I mean, sometimes if I'm talking to someone who is, got severe anxiety or honestly, one of the, if you can do nothing else, just get out and stand next to a tree, right?
100%. And I think you've actually summed that up perfectly, Jenny, because I think sometimes the way that obviously I teach and work and encourage people to, sometimes it's a bit unachievable. We can't all necessarily go on a great hike like I did yesterday. We can't necessarily all sort of go and actually get into our heads, okay, I'm going to walk into town, we'll have mobility issues, or as you said, anxiety, but even just something, just sitting in the garden, or even at the very low level, open a window, like hear some bird song, get a bit of fresh air onto you. And I think that's the thing, it's got to be achievable for people, but any kind of interaction with the outside world. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And I think, unfortunately, our lives are really busy. And I would probably attribute maybe some depression and some anxieties and all of this stuff that where people struggle. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to do this enough. It should be that this is built into our days and we should be able to factor it in. But we're too busy. We have to, keep a roof over our heads. We've got to keep cars on the drive. And, it's hard to find time, I think, to immerse
Yeah,
ourselves as we
and I
would have
think
done.
also, we need to keep banging on about the importance of it because as the years have gone by, it's seemingly less important. I mean, when I was a kid, there would have been time factored into the school day to, at the very least, be outside. And often, kids are just hold up the whole time, and we have to kind of there's that book, isn't there, Nature's Deficit Disorder, and it's just
Yeah.
so important that we get some nature in our lives. It's just critical. But tell me about the how you first started to come upon the idea of foraging then. I mean, again, there'll be some people listening to this who know exactly what that means and others who don't, so just to explain what it is.
Okay, so I did a little bit when I was a kid. So it's blackberry picking. A lot of the time, I take a group of people out there. Say, "Oh, I've never done forage before." Everyone's picked a blackberry normally, or everyone's maybe picked a dandelion blow. So it's just li lifting that up a little bit more. So it's just immersing yourself in nature, just gently. It's not a rush, and I'm really keen to say it's about just enjoying it as a hobby. I'll turn it into a vacation as well, but just enjoying the outside space and just learning what's around you. Because with that, you're then connecting. You're connecting. To me, I think it's like hunting for rare Pokemon if you're going to, pitch this to a child. And obviously, you can find some sort of the rarer species, which are not protected or anything, but just more difficult to find with beautiful flavors. So it's just about sort of reconnecting, which we've just discussed, but obviously our lack of connection with nature. And then obviously, this is, a sweet little prize along the way if you can find nice things to eat. Yeah, I eat
Absolutely. I
really,
mean,
really well. I'm just doing acorns at the minute. So I've literally doing a
nice.
load of acorns
What are you doing
to
with acorns
purge.
then?
Acorn flour. So you can buy it over good old internet, but they'll need purging once you've had the outer shell stripped, so in some water, get rid of the tannins. Then they'll be chopped up, then dried, and then ground down into a flour that is fully usable.
Right. Now there's going to be people thinking that sounds like an awful lot of work, but not
Is an awful.
everything we forage is a lot of work, is it? There are some things we can
No,
literally just
not at
pick and
all.
eat.
Yeah, like nettle leaves. We've discussed before, I think briefly, about nettles, that kind of thing, which have got more iron than spinach, which is a really great thing to be able to say to people. See, a
Yeah.
lot of this stuff, I'll be honest with you, I've just had a pot noodle for lunch. I quite like this pot noodle I can give people because I'm a realist, and it's again go back to the sort of cracking open a window or sitting in the garden. It's not just about, doing this on a level that is unachievable. So really, it's just about chucking stuff into dinners. We're going to have a risotto tonight, possibly, and that'll just have some wild mushrooms added into it, and maybe some nettles out the garden where we've not mowed the lawn. There's a nice patch that is that we can pick them from. So it's just about adding
So,
little bits
what
in
would
and
you do
stuff.
then if the nettles are not particularly young, if they're actually stinging? Will you just put some rubber gloves on and just go and grab them then?
No, so I don't use rubber gloves because my hay fever has been reduced about 90% by getting stung.
Oh,
But no, I pick
interesting.
with bare hands.
So you just go for it. Yeah.
Just go for
Yeah.
it. But they have gone over a little bit now. So it's just new growth that's coming through, what we've got a bit we can pick from. But they have a lot of them gone over.
Right. Now you mentioned mushrooms, and of course we often think of mushrooms when we think of foraging. But obviously, with recent news events, everyone's thinking, "Bloody hell, I'm not going anywhere near wild
Gosh.
mushrooms." She has not done the world any favors, has she, that woman?
No, they haven't. Unfortunately, that really affects obviously our credibility if we're
It does.
teaching people.
So talk us through the truth about, mushrooms, because I'm guessing that you're going to tell me that there are many varieties of wild mushroom that are completely safe,
Yes, there are.
and hopefully, even novices,
100%, the
should be
stuff
able
you
to
could
find
pick
the,
now.
yeah, okay.
With a book, you could. I would quite happily say to you that if you had a book there now, one of the books that I've got here, and you read that book and went out and you compared them up, there are mushrooms in there that you'd be able to pick today, take back today, sit with again at home and go, yes, I'm 100% it's that one, and cook it, and you'd be absolutely fine. And I think it's about stripping back some of these fears. We're so detached from our food, not just
Yeah,
mushrooms,
we
we're
are.
really
We
detached
really
from our
are.
food chain and how things end up on our shelves and stuff. But yeah, mushrooms get really bad rep, and I say
Yeah.
this on my sessions, like they get really, really bad press because of, unfortunately, bad press. It gives us bad press.
Yeah.
They are statistically less likely to kill you than a plant. Plants, actually, every single mushroom in the UK you can touch, but unfortunately, some plants you have to be a little bit more careful. I've had a
Yeah.
reaction on the palm of my hand to hemlock before,
Yeah,
and I had a
yeah.
really itchy spot on my skin. So yeah, mushrooms do get bad press, but there's some really easy to ID ones out there too, especially this sort of time of year in the autumn, going into
Yeah.
winter.
And of course mushrooms are so good for you. And of course we've seen the growth of mushroom coffees and adaptogen this and adaptogen that, haven't we? They've become big business in the wellness space.
100%. I've never felt this trendy, and I joke about this to people. I'm just the autistic kid that's grown up and gone back to my hobbies. And I love it.
But
And
now
I'm
you're
joking with my
queen of
PA.
trend. You're
I
on
love it. I
trend.
absolutely love it. But there is sort of all this trend around this stuff now. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing that we're looking at. But let's be honest, it's a hobby that's free. Wicker baskets, you can get a beautiful handmade one or go and weave one yourself. But you can pick these up from charity shops or jumble sales or car boots. And when I first started, I was using a butter knife, an old bone handle butter knife. And I think this trend bit around it, it hasn't done us any disservice. I think it's been good because it's highlighting something that actually is achievable for a lot of people to get involved with. It's never too late to do this. And if I wasn't teaching this 5 years ago, I'm now teaching it, writing about it, and chatting even with you today, Janie, that anybody in my book can go out and do this and add a little bit of wild to their diet.
Right.
Percent.
So you mentioned mushrooms, and you reckon with a book we would easily be able to identify mushrooms. Obviously, nettles. We know about berries when they're in season. Is there anything else that's
Just look at
easy?
roots. We could go down the root if you want.
Yeah. Take
So
us
yeah,
to the
some of the
roots.
roots you can eat of plants, things like, I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head that I've not tried. Bulrushes. I believe you can eat the shoots and roots of a bulrush.
Wow.
I was chatting to a lady yesterday, and she was, oh, sorry, on Sunday, and she was amazed that you can actually eat Japanese knotweed.
Wow.
So that's obviously a very invasive species that causes issues with obviously homes, and when you're trying to sell your home, it can affect property
Yes,
values.
yes.
And you can actually eat it, and it's got a very mild rhubarb taste. And I made a rhubarb jelly about 2 years ago, and it had a very, very subtle rhubarb taste to it as well. So there is a lot of other stuff. And I think this is where it's magical. It's a never-ending hobby because there's so much you can go down the route of making flowers, or you can do, if you, let's talk honestly, a lot of people ask me about alcohol, and I said, don't do it anymore. But you can look at those, or you can look at squashes and juices, fruit leathers. Berries, obviously roots, the mushrooms, and powders. I do a lot of powders as well with wild food and reduced price food, where I dry things, powder them down, then add them in. So if you've got a kid that doesn't like mushrooms, you can powder wild mushrooms down like my little one has. I'll just throw a handful in, to like a
So when you
spaghetti
say
one
powder
day.
them, you'd have to obviously dry it. So would you have a dehydrator, or would you just do it in an oven?
I've got a dehydrator, but you can do this on windowsills. A friend of mine, Lisa, she's up north. She's another forager that I look up to every month. She encouraged me to do this, and she actually dries seaweed on the front of her van. She's
Wow.
coastal. Yeah, so there's ways and means. People hung mushrooms on bits of thread in windows to dry.
Actually, that's a fantastic idea. You know, years ago when I was very into sort of raw food for a while, I did about 6 months mostly raw. And so I had a dehydrator, and I got very creative, but I very rarely did the drying stuff to then make powder. But it makes absolute sense, doesn't it? I mean, we spend a fortune on goddamn, adaptogen powders, but you can
We
just make
do.
your own, can't
We
you?
do. You really can.
God, I mean,
You really
I've
can. I've
only
even
just
made a
realized.
tortoise feed. I made a tortoise feed a couple of years ago for a friend who said that the tortoise struggled with greens over winter. So actually, we ended up picking the greens
Oh.
in the autumn and dried them, and she had a little bag of her. Yeah, this is stuff we can do for us as well. I've done reduced price pears. I've dried those down to make flakes to go on like porridge or into yogurt. I love a reduced price bargain. And it's about being smart, I think. I
Yeah.
wouldn't say it's being tight. I think it's being smart and frugal. I think it's
Well,
something that,
yeah,
especially
I think,
cost of
and
living.
that's one thing you talk about, isn't it? That just because you're doing things frugally doesn't mean you're not still doing it well. You can still eat really well, even though you're frugal, as it were.
Of course you can. You
I
really can.
mean,
I think another little thing I'd encourage people to do is get familiar with the supermarkets when they do the reductions.
yeah.
I love going into Waitrose, sashaying on Sunday afternoon, and Waitrose is obviously quite expensive, so I don't go in there for an awful lot at all, but they will have their reductions. It tends to be here on a Sunday mid-afternoon, and I've had the alarm go off where the reduction is so heavy we've had staff come over to check if it's actually a legitimate reduction. So yeah, it's just been smart shopping savvy, then obviously looking at what maybe people are leaving outside their homes around here in the village where we are at the minute. There's a lot of apples being left out the front and pears,
Yeah.
excess fruit. So it's just about maybe thinking, actually, can I pick those? Can I dry those if I've got space in my freezer for some for a crumble in a few months' time? But obviously all this takes a lot of time and thought I'd do this full time. But even just adding a little bit, I think, into your week or to your
Yeah, I
day.
mean the apples, it's a really good point. We've had lots of sort of fallen apples. I mean, how would you freeze it? Would you have to cook it? Would you have to cook apples first and then freeze it?
You can do if you want to make like a puree, that kind of thing. You could blanch them, but I've just done a load. We've got a commercial freezer, which sounds really like decadent, but it's not. It was from a charity shop. It's heavily reduced. We've got a big freezer for our pork as well because we've reared some of our own pigs. And in there, all we did was freeze on baking sheets. I put a couple of baking sheets and spread out the slices of apple. Then when they part frozen, I've
What,
then
just
put
raw
all of those.
apple rather than
Yeah, you
cooked?
just raw
Ah,
quartered or
okay.
sliced, and
Yeah,
then put
yeah.
those slices into the bag.
Yeah.
So they're actually frozen separately, so you can get a portion out and freeze them in a bigger bag. So there's
Right.
ways, and Google's fantastic. I
Yeah,
love Google
exactly.
for.
I mean, the thing is, it's about the mindset, isn't it? Because the reality is so much food is thrown away. I mean, it's shocking how much food is thrown away, isn't it?
An awful lot of food is thrown away. We just see it probably a lot on base level. When you see things like in the Olio apps, and there's always something to
Yeah.
go through Olio apps, that kind of thing. And yeah, I think we live in a disposable society. I went to Primark the other day. I went in there, I'll be honest, went for some pants. Primark, but I don't do a lot of shopping for new clothes apart from pants. I could spend a lot
Well,
of money on
exactly. Fashion, it's like food, it's
vintage.
completely disposable, isn't it?
It's so disposable. All
Yeah.
this plastic stuff. They've got
I
plastic
know.
sports cups and picnic boxes and plastic. And I just thought, my goodness me, we're not being, I'll be honest, I think a lot of this stuff, these small things that I do and that you guys can maybe take a little bit of inspiration and do more of, a lot of these changes, if we want change to happen with waste, I think it doesn't come from us really. I think it comes from above, and then that should be filtered down. We shouldn't be able to buy so much plastic stuff that's
No,
disposable.
exactly.
We shouldn't. We
Exactly.
shouldn't have that many options in different colours, and
Well, it, I
we
mean,
shouldn't.
it's not even just clothes. I mean, back on food for a moment. I mean, I used to talk about this stuff all the time. I mean, my first book, Imperfectly Natural Woman, was nearly 20 years ago. I was so ahead of my time. Talking about, I often joke that I was talking about coconut oil and kale before they got their own publicists.
My
But,
gosh.
in that book, I remember talking then, and that was nearly 20 years ago, about how ridiculous it is that you go and buy an avocado. Right, which already has its cover, it's got its cover, and you buy it not only in plastic, but on its own little sheet of cardboard.
Oh, it's on
I
a
mean,
little
What the hell is that even
It's like a
about?
royal
Yeah,
avocado.
exactly.
It's been
You know, just
dressed up.
give me the avocado in a paper bag. Thank you. You know, and the same with bananas. They do not need to be wrapped in a ton of plastic. It's crazy. And then, you know, it's like, oh, you must save plastic. So therefore,
Yeah,
you
and the
pay for a
guilt is on
plastic.
us.
If you pay for a plastic bag, oh, that makes it all right then.
And I've actually looked into
which
this a
will
little bit. It's a
burst on the
lot of
way home,
wrapping,
by
isn't
the
it?
way.
Actually, so you were saying this how long ago again? 20 years ago.
20 years I was saying all of
20 years
this.
ago.
Yeah.
And
And
it's still
nothing's changed.
happening.
It's, yeah, it's still happening. It's worse, if anything. It's worse.
Yeah, I believe
It's
it is worse.
actually much worse. The more people bang on about it as if they care, actually, the reality is it's far worse. I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm not going to go too far into this because don't get me started. But during the whole COVID BS, do you remember the number? There wasn't it something like 27 billion disposable masks
I
landed
can
up in
imagine.
rivers and
I can
seas?
imagine.
I mean, yeah. But meanwhile, whatever you do, don't, you know,
I
forget
need
to
a bit of
take
cling film.
a
Do
you know,
not just cling
exactly.
film. Excuse me.
So there's
It's hard. It's hard.
an
None of
awful
us
lot of
can
noise
pretend to be
around
doing
this.
this.
No,
I
exactly.
don't sit here and say to you that I'm using beeswax wraps and all that. It's not. I mean, they're actually really easy to make. I should make some, but it's not about that. I think it is just about making some little changes and maybe
It
just
is,
thinking,
it
do I
is.
need an extra water bottle? Do I need an extra packet of, I don't know, nylon tea towels? I think it's just, but equally, I feel that doing the wild food stuff, pulling this back onto maybe wild food and sort of frugal food, that is going above and beyond, I think, your contribution to trying to live a bit cleaner and
Yeah,
frugally. I think that
exactly.
really does balance out quite a lot of that sort of plastic use and stuff.
Yeah, and it's good for your well-being. You know, it's really
Totally.
good for you, really good for your well-being being out in nature, and so much better for you than eating a load of stuff with a load of stuff added, basically, chemicals added.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So
Brilliant.
yeah, I absolutely love it. So you take people on forage. How does it work? Do you take them on a walk and you kind of show them what they might pick, or what how do you do it?
Yeah, so it's very chill. As we've sort of chatted about briefly before this, obviously we're recording this. It's just a lot of just sort of just, I guess, just reintroducing people to outside in a different light. Because I think, I've joked about the fact that as children, we should all sort of be, I wish we were all still the height of children because they're so much closer to the ground. We've all grown up, we're talking adult to adult. We've grown up and we're a lot taller. We're quite detached from sort of base level where we'd have sat on the edge of our pavements as kids and maybe thrown a ball across each other. And it is about taking people out and getting them to crouch down on the ground, getting to touch a tree and look at the bark or smell the, the conifer of the tree. And with that, you're sort of gently, I just guess, guiding them to say, oh, did you know that dandelions that, you probably picked as a kid, you can eat the greens, you can make a, like a vegan sort of like honey substitute out of the flowers. And it's just almost sort of putting, I would say, it's more about sparking them to do this on their own. I do joke with people, I don't want to see them again. I'm going to say, hopefully I've given you just a little bit of a glimpse into this sort of world out there of wild foods that then they can go off and have their own journey with it. I've sung at sheep and I've cried outside, I've screamed. It's particularly going through sort of giving up alcohol and stuff and emotions. And really, this is just hopefully just a bit of a nudge from me to them, that they can teach themselves a lot of this stuff. And it is just perhaps giving them that little bit of confidence just to get going with it.
Yeah. And where are you on sort of having some, you know, pots and growing food at home, or if you're lucky enough to be able to have a, you know, veg in your garden, do you recommend that?
I would love to say I recommend it. I have got about 4 or 5 kilograms of green tomatoes in the spare bedroom upstairs that I've covered with a blanket, and there's a banana and apple in there. Hopefully, they're going to go red. But I'm an awful gardener, absolutely
Yeah,
awful
me
gardener.
too. Me
We,
too.
you're not a gardener, you're green fingered,
I
no.
can't do it. No, I absolutely can't do it. And I can completely understand how unbelievably sensible it would be and how therapeutic, but I just can't do it.
And I think this is where I ended up going outside to pick it off the hedgerows because obviously I
Yeah.
haven't got to tend to it. It's all outside growing. And the joke really is that it's not a joke, but the farming industry is struggling.
Yeah,
There's crops
absolutely.
and fields that are struggling, and people, farmers, are not getting back what they put into their fields of crops, the time, the tending of them, the costs and stuff for all these things they have to put down. And the hedgerows are still out there. They're growing beautifully. I'm literally looking at the front. I've got brambles on my lawn, but there's probably about 8 or 10 edibles that are growing in my front garden. I can just go and pick, and I've not looked after them. So gardening is off for me. That's why I head to hedgerows. Perhaps if you've got any people that are not particularly green-fingered listening, they may pick up some foraging instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, not forgetting, things like edible flowers. I remember years ago somebody showed me, is it Lobelia, the lovely little blue flowers? Is it Lobelia?
Possibly, yeah, possibly.
Have I got that name right? I could have it
Oh, I'm trying to think where else it could
completely
be.
wrong. Begins with L, I know that. And they're tiny, tiny little blue flowers. And they're absolutely beautiful on salads and stuff. Absolutely amazing. I've probably got the
Like
name completely wrong.
the primrose, we can eat primrose flowers as well, which are
Can you?
beautiful. And most people can ID a primrose. I don't know, sort of, blanket everyone with the same sort of, but most people, I would say, that in the UK can ID a primrose. And those flowers are beautifully edible as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some, you can make things really pretty as well. People like to put those on top of biscuits, the baking, that kind of thing. So
Yeah,
there's a lot of
lovely.
scope with this if you want to go down different avenues.
So what do we have to be careful of? Because, obviously we don't want to kill ourselves, and there are, plants that are toxic. I mentioned to you when I was on BBC Northampton that I was walking through just some sort of what's the word, like common ground, if you like, and a friend with a friend of mine who does know about this stuff, and he just pointed out some plants and he said, "Oh, do you know what that is?" And I said, "No, I've got no idea. It just looks like, I don't know, dock leaves or something. Just looks like, nothing that I would consider." And he said, "Well, it's hemlock." Now, obviously, if I'd, decided to pick that and try and eat it, that wouldn't be good, right? So,
No, and that's right.
what are the things we must be, absolutely careful that we don't go near?
I think we just need to be careful we have our common sense with us at all times. And I think that I can't really go expand upon that too much. We're all individuals. If I'm taking a group out, obviously they're under my care for that session. But at the end of the day, people have just got to use common ready
So I
sense. They
guess
have to use it.
it's just doing a bit of Googling or having a quick look at a book before you head off out, I suppose.
100%. Or just take it, if you're not sure, take it home and look at it at home. Perhaps if you're in a bit of a rush that day and you find some mushrooms and think, oh, I'm sure they're the ones I've seen in a book. I wouldn't encourage to leave them all behind. Maybe pick enough for dinner, but bring them home and then just double check them. I was sat in bed in the hotel. I went down to do a client group at in the Cotswolds a couple of weekends ago, and we'd gone down, made a weekend of it, so stayed the night before. And in the hotel we'd stayed the night before, I was in bed waiting for a Chinese and put my hand on, had a Chinese that night before the food the next day. And I had the bed covered, the crisp, beautiful white bed sheets in mushrooms. Because I was learning them. I was learning them. It's the first time I found this species. They're called a lurid bolete, which are edible. And I was there learning them myself. So if I'm learning this stuff still, as all other people that will try and teach foraging to other people gently, it's just about taking that time. And yes, there are things like hemlocks out there. Yes, there are things like hemlock water dropwort. There are things like foxgloves, digitalis. There is a lot of stuff out there that, if you're eating this stuff, it's not going to do you any good at all. And the way I would describe it to people is if you could just remember that obviously you're going to be wanting to enjoy your meal, the last thing you're going to be doing is enjoying it. If there's any doubt in your mind, you're consuming
Yeah,
something deadly.
exactly.
So just take some time.
Yeah,
Just take that
exactly.
time.
And you mentioned you had a friend who lived by the coast. I guess that seaweed is wonderful if you know what to do with it. So I mean,
Then that's really trendy, isn't it? You probably know more about seaweed than I do, Jamie. I mean,
No, not really. Only in the sense that it seems to me the only way that you can access seaweed is from a kind of health shop, and it's been sort of crisped up and usually sugar added, which is the last thing you need. So I don't really know what you would do with seaweed. Maybe you can tell me.
I'll be honest, I know a lot of people use it obviously in cooking, just adding it in for obviously the goodness in it. I couldn't quote you on all the nutritional content of it. But I believe, and don't quote this, but I'm 99.9% sure all seaweeds in the UK are edible, which again is a really, really nice bit of encouragement for people to get out there if they're going to the coast and have a little book or have a little look on Google and find a reputable website or source to learn this stuff. It's all self-taught, a lot of this stuff that I'm sort of trying to get across to you guys, and obviously people listening. And with the seaweeds, if they are, to our best of my knowledge, I believe they're all edible, then you've got loads out there. The chance of you obviously finding something that you'd put into food is quite high. And I think this is achievable wherever we go in the world. We can head over to France and do foraging as well for, obviously all this sort of stuff too. And I think the scope of it is there. And I think it is just a little bit of care. But yeah, seaweeds are very, very good for us. I
Yeah, it
know there's a
is.
lot of stuff around the additives they put into them. I believe there's some on the market now with less sugar, I
Yeah,
believe.
I'm sure there is actually.
I hope so. I hope so
I think there's a brand called Just Seaweed, which is meant to be really good. So
anyway.
I shouldn't tar them all with the same brush. Tell me
Okay.
about larder cloths.
Larder cloths. I got piddled off with Naff tea towels, if I'm honest, Janie. So I'm a bit of a homebod. I love my hiking and walking, getting out. I love traveling as well. But I love baking. I love being in the kitchen. I'm doing a lot of sort of trial and error stuff, cooking and using tea towels and order. I'm not going to name companies, but just well-known supermarket tea towels, and then some from sort of other places. And going back to obviously this waste thing that we were chatting about earlier. And they were awful. They weren't particularly expensive. Some were sort of 3 to 5 quid a pop for a tea towel, but they were small, they were shrinking. So in the end, I got fed up with it. I had some finances in my work account, and I thought I'd take the punt and invest a little bit of time and money, which I didn't realize how much time, into reaching out to a French linen company, manufacturer, one of the oldest French linen places in France.
Right,
There's a lovely
right.
lady called Sylvie over there, who's wonderful. And they created for me a bespoke larger tea towel, which you can use as a half apron. You can literally tuck it in. If you're ADHD like me, you're busy, you haven't got time to pull one on over your head and tie it up, you literally tuck it into the hem of your skirt or your trousers, to use in the kitchen. So it's a
So is it
big,
an
big.
apron or is it a cloth then, or
No, it's
both?
just a big square. It's a
Ah,
big,
okay.
big square. So you can use that for like wrapping bread. You know, the bread goes
Right,
off.
right. Oh, lovely.
There's a big multi-purpose square, so
Oh,
it's
what a
about 6 by 6.
fantastic idea. Because I
And they don't
years
shrink.
for years I used to use the muslin cloths that I'd had when my
Yes.
kids were small, but then you end up throwing them away, forget about it. But you're absolutely right. I love that idea. How
Well, this.
fantastic.
And it's actually, I just want to say as well, it is actually much more hygienic to use because it's got something
Exactly.
antimicrobial, so it's
Yeah.
very, very good for us as well,
Yeah, yeah.
and biodegradable. So
Amazing.
yeah, so I ended up having my own little, obviously under my company's little brand. It's got a little humble patch in the corner, but yeah, there's just a decent, I believe in it. It's a really beautiful linen piece of cloth that I use every day here. So
Great,
yeah, no
great.
more pants, tea towels.
Yeah,
I've had enough of them.
absolutely. And then just back to your sobriety then. How do you feel that that kind of underpins everything that you do?
I just feel that, like, I didn't realize what a waste of time and money it actually was. And, you know, I
Yeah.
think we can get caught. I don't know about if you can maybe relate to this. It's a habit.
Yeah,
And until you
exactly.
get rid of that habit, you don't realize when you're in that habit
No, you don't
within that.
realize you're caught in a trap.
You don't.
Yeah.
And I actually follow a few Instagrammers that talk daily about this, and they sort of preach to everyone to remind. And I love these people. I can't think of the names of the account. They're pretty shouting me because I can't remember the name, but they just remind you every day, like we're having a chat. This is reminding me life was really, really pants drinking. There was this horrible circle of sort of guilt and thinking, oh,
Yeah.
tonight I might not drink, but knowing full well that it'll get to the evening time and I'll drink. Of course, I'll drink again. Like, I was fooling
Yeah.
myself.
Yeah.
And then this really has just kept me busy. This has given
Yeah.
me a focus that's away from that. And quite often, there's things like these acorns I've got to shell up in 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I'll be quite often doing, or dry mushrooms. And that's just then eating gently into that time when I'd probably reach for a glass of wine.
Exactly.
Which I'm not doing that. So it's a time filler. It's a really wholesome time filler. I feel like a
Yeah.
born again hippie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to share it with us. So, do you want to give us your website? And I'm guessing you'll be doing sort of foraging walks in the spring, will you? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I've got a couple more the rest of this year. I think it's three more, and then we're off to the Philippines. So after that, I'm back in March with bookings already, and events planned for March. Just some new places as well, which I love because I get to go to new places and obviously explore new areas of people, which is great. It's never the same sort of walk twice of people, which is nice for them and me. And I'd love for you, just quickly to extend the offers we've chatted about before, I would love for you to come out to watch. I'd happily take you out for a little wander to find
That
some
would be
marketing.
amazing. So is that in Northamptonshire you mostly do them?
Mainly Northamptonshire,
Yeah.
Oxfordshire, and quite a lot as well. I do run over in Oxfordshire too,
Okay,
and sorry,
great.
in the Cotswolds.
Amazing.
So
So yeah,
fairly
tell us
north.
your website then. I'll pop it in the show notes as
Okey-dokey.
well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for a little bit of self-promo. It's www.tellus, TELLUS hyphen mater, MATER.co.uk. Tellus Mater. You should find it with good old Google. And I'm on
Yeah,
Instagram
brilliant.
as well
Well, I'll
with my
pop it
name.
on the notes as well. Thanks ever
Thank
so much,
you.
Lizzie. I really appreciate it. Congratulations
I'll
on all
hopefully
the
see you
lovely
around
stuff you're
soon, Jenny, for
doing.
a mushroom hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks ever so
Thank
much.
you.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.